Well, good morning to you all. Let me add my words of greeting to those of Sarah. I particularly want to greet our Awana families and welcome you to the Sunday worship gathering of Clearwater Bay International Baptist Church. We always call our church CBIBC for short because Clearwater Bay International Baptist Church is a mouthful. When you hear us saying CBIBC, that's what it stands for. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Nate. At Awana, in a work Awana circles, I'm known as Sarah's husband. That's how this works out. But I'm also the TNT leader. So TNT is the Truth and Training. That's the ones who've stayed in here for the service because they're a little older. That's usually our 8 to 13-year-olds who are a part of that club. And you know, the younger kids, we all play games together in Awana. We play games every week. We sing songs every week, so it's a ton of fun. But we also put some emphasis on the Bible because we feel like the Bible is the most important book in the history of the world. For example, the younger kids are now going through the Gospel of Mark, talking about the life and ministry of Jesus. But the TNT students have been studying some of the deeper questions of life, like where did life come from? And if there's a God, why do so many bad things happen in the world? We've talked about the different parts of the Bible, which we call the Word of God. For example, if I were to ask the kids, what do we call the older part of the Bible that goes all the way back to the beginning of the world before Jesus came? What do we call that part of the Bible? What do we call the older part of the Bible that goes all the way back? The Old Testament. Good. Okay. So then what do we call the newer part of the Bible that starts with Jesus and goes all the way through his apostles and predicts the end of the world? The New Testament. Great. So we talk about these different parts of the Bible. Awana is a big part of the Bible is a big part of Awana, rather. So I want you to know that if we were to sum up the main message of the Bible that we look at in Awana, it starts with that very first verse that our Awana kids learn when they come to Awana, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we really believe it's important for your kids to get to know Jesus. We read that phrase, believes in him, it's pregnant with meaning. To believe in something is to have faith, specifically to have faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And if we do, we have a promise that we'll have eternal life, which means that having faith in Jesus is not just something that's important for this life, but it's important that we believe in Jesus for all of eternity. Now listen, I know that all of the families who send their kids to Awana are not necessarily Christians. Awana is a great program for helping kids to practice their spoken English, their listening skills in English. It's a great program on Sunday mornings in the nearby community to send your kids to be a part of. But we know that there are some families who are sending their kids to Awana because you really want to give your kids a faith foundation. You might think, hey, I really want my kids to have something to lean on when they go through difficulties in this life, because you know life's been difficult for you from time to time, and you want them to have a relationship with a God who can help them through those times. And if you're one of those parents who are wanting to give a faith foundation to your kids, I want you to know that the team here at CBIBC at Awana is delighted to support you in that goal of giving a faith foundation to your kids. We're delighted to spend time with your kids each Sunday morning here. We want them to have this faith foundation as well. And we believe this faith foundation is not just important for kids. It's important for adults as well. All of us to know God, not only to know him to go through the difficult times, but to know the God who created the universe and calls us to have faith in him. He calls us to believe and to walk in his ways. And he gives us the promise of eternal life for those of us who will believe. This morning, I want to invite you to look at this book we call the Word of God, the Bible, with me. and grasp a few important truths about faith. How do we lay a faith foundation for our lives? So not just important for families, but for singles, for all of us. How do we lay a foundation for our faith? Faith begins with an acknowledgement of who God is. You heard the scripture reading read this morning, and the first verse we read was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You might be wondering about the mention of that country, Israel, in this verse. Obviously, the modern nation of Israel has been involved in a lot of the political turmoil, the wars that are going on in this world right now, in the Middle East, over the past few years. And when the Bible calls on Israel to acknowledge that there is one God, it's not speaking about the modern day nation of Israel. Though the location is the same of where the people were, it's not speaking about that modern day nation. The word Israel here refers to a people group. In Chinese, we say igaminzu, right? It's a group. It's an ethnic group, a people called Israel. We're an ethnic group of people who trace their roots back thousands of years to a man named Abraham. Abraham is the one who is referred to in the Bible as the father of faith. God called him out of the Fertile Crescent area of our world. He called him to follow him by faith, and he's the first to really acknowledge the one true God and walk by faith. The term Israel actually means he who wrestles with God. He who wrestles with God. And it goes back to the story of Abraham's grandson Jacob, who had a vision in which he wrestled with God and then received God's blessing. So the whole people group that descended from Abraham has taken on this name Israel, a people who wrestles with God. And it's an apt description of this people who have wrestled with God and been blessed by him back and forth over the years. God chose this people group out of all the people groups in the world to reveal himself to them first, and then this people group was then to spread the knowledge of who God is to all the world so that all peoples would believe in the one true God. They were supposed to be a faith-filled people. But most of the Old Testament of the Bible shares the story of this people struggling to have faith, struggling to remain faithful to God. And truly, it was a people who wrestled with God. And throughout the Old Testament, we read about how God sent prophets to the people Israel to seek to draw their hearts back into worshiping him. One of those prophets who spoke to the people a lot was a man named Moses. He's the one who wrote these words that we're looking at today. Moses is the one who God used to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He was the one who gave them the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, and it's he who speaks these words to us. Hear, O Israel, listen up, basically, guys. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, this would have been a radical statement in Moses' day and age. Moses would have been familiar with all the gods, little g, gods of Egypt, where he grew up as an adopted son in the household of Pharaoh. He would have been familiar with all the little g, gods of all the lands of the people around him, the Baals and the Ashtaroths and the Shamash and all these different gods. He grew up and lived in a polytheistic world in which there were many gods that people worshiped. So for Moses to boldly proclaim to the people of Israel that there is just one God, that's a bold statement. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the truth is, claiming that there is one God is a bold statement in today's world. There are lots of people who worship lots of different gods around the world, and it's tempting for us to seek to appease people of all different faiths, saying, hey, you worship God or the gods your way, I'll worship it mine, and we should all get along. And certainly, we ought to be kind to everyone in the world, no matter what faith tradition they're from, and Jesus would call us towards that. But we also cannot deny that the God of the Bible claims that he alone is the one true God. And so if we're going to worship him honestly, if we're not going to just sort of muddy the waters and pick and choose what we want out of the Bible, we have to acknowledge that there is indeed one true God, the creator of the universe. Now, if there really is just one God, it would be deceptive and wrong and display a lack of love to say to the people of the world, you worship God or the gods your way, I'll worship my way, when there really is just one God. You might say, Nate, okay, so say I'm willing to acknowledge that there is just one God. How would I really know that? How would I prove that? And within the confines of 30 minutes or so speaking to you this morning, I'm not sure that I can prove to you completely. I think God has to touch people's heart to believe these things. But I would say two things. First, the Bible is a book which self-authenticates its own reality. Let me say that again. The Bible is a book which self-authenticates its own reality. It tells us the history of the world from the very beginning, when God spoke the world into existence, and it reveals that there is only one God. You might say, well, Nate, isn't that circular reasoning to say that we should believe in the God of the Bible because the Bible tells us to believe? Well, I don't think so, but I can understand your hesitancy. The truth is, though, the more you read the Bible, the more it authenticates itself to you. In other words, you see things and how they were put together from a creator God and how he prophesied about what's to come and how the whole history of the world takes shape and points toward the coming of someone who loves us in Jesus Christ coming to this earth to ultimately save us and bring us back to God. It begins to make sense and to authenticate itself to you. But let me give you another argument for why we believe that there's only one God. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us that what can be known about God is plain to all people because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. In other words, we can perceive that there is only one God by looking at nature. This is precisely why science and faith do not contradict each other. Science is simply the study of things as they are. And the more you discover using scientific methods, the more you discover about this planet, about the universe, the more you come to believe that a master designer must have put it all together. All of its intricate detail, the amazing way that all the systems of the world work together, point us towards a supreme designer of all things. The honest observer, the honest researcher, cannot deny that there is a supreme designer of the universe. You might say, okay, Nate, I'm willing to go with you and for sake of discussion, tacitly acknowledge that there is one God. But how does believing that there is one God really make any difference for my life today? I'm glad you asked, because that goes to our second key idea from this passage this morning. Faith is a love relationship with God that demands your complete commitment. You shall love the Lord your God, the scripture says, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. If indeed there is one true God who created the world, it seems that he created it for a purpose. We can observe from nature that humans are the highest form, the highest life form on our planet. And then we read from the Bible that God created humans in his own image, in his likeness, and it totally makes sense. Human beings are unique among all the life forms on planet Earth. We have the ability to create things. We have the ability to make plans. We have the ability to dream dreams. We have the ability to communicate in an in-depth way and to have relationships that are complex and satisfying. We ask, why would God create us this way? And then we read from the Bible that God calls human beings to love him. What does that mean? He says that this love is to be with all our hearts, soul, and might. In other words, we are to have feelings of delight toward God. We are to volitionally honor God. We are to serve him with the strength of our bodies. And this kind of love brings glory to the God who created us. And so God created us with a purpose to love him so that he might receive glory. And since He is the greatest entity in all the universe, He deserves that glory that He receives from us. And it's not like God is some like selfish being who just needs people to say how great He is all the time, but He truly wants a relationship with us. That's why He created human beings. Now, I want you to notice the most repeated word of this verse that's on the screen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. God does not want a portion of you. He doesn't want half of you. Like what if I told my wife, Sarah, Sarah, I really love you, but I'm going to love another woman as well. I'll give you half of my love, but I'm going to give the other half of my love, my effort, my commitment to someone else. It's not going to fly very well, right? No way. Not sharing. We're not doing that. No way. And this is innate within us, this kind of complete commitment. This is the way God feels towards us. He wants us to love Him and serve Him completely, not dividing our attention between the one true God and other small g gods, which could be gods that people worship in this world, or could be other things that we make gods, like money, or sex, or power, or prestige, or entertainment, or myself. I can make a god. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share our love's devotion with Him and someone else. But how do we know what loving God with all our heart, soul, and might really look like? And that leads us to our third key idea for today. Faith requires a commitment to the Word of God. And these words that I command you today shall be on your hearts. If God really is the one true God, and if He really wants us to have a love relationship with Him, doesn't it stand to reason that He would reveal to humans who He is and how we can live in such a way that shows our love for Him? It does. It stands to reason. If God created all things, He created people to be in a relationship with Him, He certainly wouldn't leave it a mystery how we're supposed to interact with Him. And that's where the Bible, the Word of God, comes in. We don't necessarily have time today to do an in-depth explanation on why the Bible is a reliable source for showing us who God is and what He expects from us. But I will simply repeat my claim from earlier that the Bible is a self-authenticating book. In other words, when you begin to read the Bible, asking God to show you who He is, asking Him to reveal Himself to you through the Bible, the truth of God supernaturally comes and touches your heart. This is the meaning of a verse from Romans 10 that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If you're a person who says, I'm not sure I really believe, I want to believe, I've seen people who believe that have this super cool kind of peace and joy about their lives, but I can't quite get there, can I encourage you to read the Bible? Can I encourage you to just read it and seek to discover for yourself if it's really true? And you say, oh man, I don't even know where to start. We'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to help you with the reading plan. Someone here would even like to get together with you to help you to understand and read the Bible and help you to learn to read it for yourself. But the words of the Bible speak to your heart and they convince you of the truth of who God is, what He's done for you, and it draws you into a love relationship with God that does indeed give you that kind of joy and peace and purpose and confidence in this life and an assurance of eternal life. The problem is, in our natural human state, we're rebellious against God. Humans want to go our own way, do our own thing, be in control of our own lives. And according to God, in His Word, that attitude is wrong. If God's created us, He's our owner. And He deserves to have say about what our heart should be about loving and what we should be about doing. And so we call this heart that wants to rebel against God and go our own way a sinful heart. God, our Creator, is not honored by us when we have a sinful heart. And when our actions go against the way He wants us to act in the Word of God, we call this sin. It's a dishonor to Him. And when we find ourselves in a state of rebellion against God and against the God who created us, ultimately it puts us in line to receive judgment from God. That's the bad news about ourselves that's revealed in the Bible. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. There's also good news revealed in the Bible. It's all over the place. That's why when you hear that word gospel, that word gospel means good news. When Christians speak of the gospel, it means they want to tell good news to people, the good news about Jesus. Because God loves us so much, He didn't want humans to remain in a state of rebellion and judgment. And so He sent God, the eternal Son, Jesus Christ, to come into our world to reveal His glory to us, to show us the perfections of God. And ultimately, He came to give His life as a sacrifice to pay the price for my sins and for your sins. Jesus came to save us and to restore us to a relationship with God. And so we read the Word of God, and we see the plan of God through the history of the world, and we read the Word of God, and we're drawn to faith in Him, and we read the Word of God, and we see where we fall short of the perfection of God, and we're sobered by the coming judgment of God. But ultimately, we read the Word of God, and we see the salvation plan of God that is good for our souls now and for all of eternity. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you today and for all eternity. He genuinely wants to save you. He wants good for your life. And again, back to the verse your kids all learned when they started Awana. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's the way of salvation that we read in the Word of God, and thus this Word should be on our hearts. And that's why we talk about the Bible every Sunday in Awana, and every Sunday in our worship services, and every week in our small groups of adults that meet throughout the city. And we even encourage people in our CBIBC family to read the Bible on their own, and to have faith instilled inside of them, and to see the love relationship that God wants to have with them. It's just like if you were to say, I'm just going to eat one meal per week. That's like a new trend on this fasting technique that we're going through, like intermittent fasting, like intermittent once a week. I'm going to eat and just see how much weight I lose. Let's see how long I'll survive if I eat one meal a week. Not going to be good, right? And the same thing goes for your spiritual life. If you eat once a week, how strong is your spiritual life going to be? That's why we need the Word of God. Our faith is dependent on feasting and eating from the Word of God. Faith, finally, I want you to see, is to be passed on to your children. And this is the last point I want to make today, and the point I want to make with all of our Awana families here today. The Scripture says, you shall teach the Word of God diligently to your children, and you shall talk about them, the words of God, when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. At CBIBC, we're happy to have the Awana program that helps you and that helps your children to learn the Word of God. And as leaders, we say our goal is to get as much of God's Word as deep as we can into as many kids as we can. But technically, God has not given Awana the responsibility of bringing the Word of God to your kids. As you can see from this word right here, that responsibility lies directly on you as a parent. Teach them diligently to your children. Not my kids you're supposed to teach to. You're supposed to teach to your kids. Now, Awana can be a great partner for you in helping you fulfill your obligation to teach the Word of God to your children. The handbooks that your kids receive when you enter Awana are a great tool for doing the work of teaching the Word of God to your children. The books are laid out in a very simple way with lots of great stories, lots of great pictures, and at the end of the section, there's even a little Bible verse there for your kids to memorize. And now the Awana kids know that if they memorize verses, they can get stickers and patches, and even at the end of the year, go to the Awana store where they can spend their Awana bucks that they earned. But parents, if you promise to keep a secret, I'll tell you something. The main goal for Awana is not for your kids to get a lot of awards on their vest or on their shirts, and so that they're self-esteem feels really great. The main goal of Awana is not for your kids to get a bunch of toys that come from Taobao. The main goal of Awana is not to have a party every Sunday morning. The main goal of Awana is not just for them to have lots of fun, but the real goal is to get as much of God's Word into their hearts as possible, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I can tell your kids the gospel message in my own words 100 times, but then God uses His Word and supernaturally transforms something on the inside of them. And so, I want to talk to you about how you can use these books, the Awana program, as a partner to help you put the Word of Christ into your kids. So, how can you talk about the Word of God when you sit at home, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you rise? Well, let me just give you an easy, practical, attainable vision for teaching the Word of God to your kids. Just take the random Sunday afternoon. It doesn't have to be a Sunday, but Sundays tend to be the day when we sometimes have some free time. Maybe after you've had your lunch, you're sitting around your house, and you take a few minutes to pick up your child's Awana book. And each story in the Awana book, each little section, takes about 5 minutes to read. At most, 5 minutes to read. And so you read it. You might ask your kids a few questions to test their understanding. Do they understand what it's about? But it's not supposed to be like school. It's supposed to be like a fun, like story time when you read to your kids. And then you might help them to practice their verse for next Sunday, because if your kids repeat it 5 or 6 times with you throughout the week, man, they're just going to come in and rock it on Sunday mornings. They'll say the verse. They won't have the stress that you have last minute coming to church in the car, on the bus. Get your verse. Come on, read it. Say it. Come on, get it. None of that happens. They're not coming to church feeling embarrassed because they haven't looked at it all week. No, you've just begun to practice it with them from early in the week. They practice their verse, and you can just do the repeat after me method. For God so loved the world, say that, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that He gave His only Son. And just have them repeat after you. And your kids' brains are like little sponges, man. They just suck it up, and it's there in just a few minutes. If your kid needs help, you can give them hand signals. This week, Barnabas was learning a verse, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is strong and mighty. And he started getting mighty. He's 6 years old, so he's chest bumping me with the mighty stuff, wanting to be a part of it. I mean, have fun with your kids in this. There's no need to do a Bible lecture and point your finger and, yeah, you need to act like this. No, just enjoy imparting the Word of God to your kids. So, You can talk about it in the car. You can talk about it on the MTR, on the bus, when you're waiting for a class. Just as many times as you get a chance, you're wondering, what should I talk to my kids about? Talk to them about the story and their verse. Now, how can we talk, just two more things about this practically, about the Word of God when we rise up? Can I encourage you about the power of music in the life of your child? And I don't mean playing an instrument. Luda did an amazing job this morning. That's powerful too. But I mean playing Christian songs in your house. You would be amazed at the power music has to create a peaceful atmosphere within your home. And the way the kids will quickly begin to sing those songs and know them in their minds and in their mouths and even in their hearts. Can I encourage you? I mean, there are downloads in your Awana book. You can type those in if you want. I think there may be some QR codes you can scan with your phone to get some of the songs. Or just go on YouTube and type children's Christian songs. And most of them, they're pretty simple, easy. Just play them. Play them throughout your house. Let the Word of God rise your kids up in the morning. You have a tough time and mornings in your house. People are cranky, not going well. Play some music and let your family rise. Finally, I'll challenge you with one last thing. And this passage speaks about talking about the Word of God when you lie down. Would you consider beginning to pray with your kids before they go to sleep each night? When you pray out loud for them, you're not only talking to God on their behalf, but you're modeling for your children that you think it's important for them to know God and that God is real and that God hears our prayers and that God wants to be involved in their lives. Now, my kids have taken to saying one of their Awana verses at night. My daughter's favorite verse is Psalm 4:8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. And my son doesn't want to be left behind, so he's saying John 3:14-16, Moses lifting up the snake, so the Son of Man is lifted up, God so loved the world. You know, they're getting into it, and then I simply pray for them. I say goodnight, give them a kiss, give them a hug, and out the door. And it's, I mean, less than 5 minute routine, okay? Sometimes when they want water and their teddy bear, it might be 6 minutes, okay? But that doesn't take long, right? But that simple thing, put your kids to bed in the Lord. And then turn the music on, rises them up in the Lord. And then you're walking through your day, sharing things with them, helping them to be in the Lord. It's difficult. We all need reminders. We all need things that help us in this life to connect with God. So whether you're an Awana family or a single working adult or a university student, the Word of God plays the same role in your life. It brings forth faith from you, bringing you to a place of knowing Him and loving Him and serving Him. And so if you're looking to lay a faith foundation for your life, can I encourage you, get to know who God is. Build that love relationship with Him. Make a commitment to the Word of God. And then within your family or your friend group, or just if you're single, within your own life, begin to find creative ways of getting the Word in all times, in all parts of your day. And you'll be glad you did. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you're so good. You're so good to all of us that you have revealed yourself in the Word of God and made it plain to us so that we can hear it and understand it and know you, know your plan of salvation and follow after you. Lord, but we confess this life really is hard sometimes. Parenting really is hard sometimes. We need you. We need you, Lord, to help us as parents. We need you to help us as families. As singles, we need your help to know you through your Word. Not seeing the Word of God just as some kind of obligation, but seeing it as really good for our life, really good for our relationship with God, to have your love, your peace, your joy in our life. Oh Lord, we need you to remind us because our hearts are prone to wander away from you. We need you. Lord, I pray for our Awana families in particular, who are, some of them, just discovering what it means to lay this faith foundation. I pray they'd be patient with themselves, patient with their kids. I pray there'd be a joy for them to get to know you in the coming days as a partner with Awana. I pray we would be good partners with these families, help them along in their faith, and they eventually helping us along with our faith as well. And Lord, we're so thankful for just the great day it was today, having all the kids involved. And we give you glory, God, for the work that you're doing in each of our lives. Help us to walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.